When my guests understood and practiced ancient biblical meditation, he was taken to heaven and later completely, miraculously healed. The doctors were amazed. Guess what? His hearing of God's voice was supernaturally fine-tuned. God wants your hearing supernaturally fine-tuned. Next. I've thought for myself in every area of life, but one, I knew nothing until I discovered a realm where the truth isn't what it seems. A realm where the truth becomes reality. I've spent over 50 years investigating the world of the supernatural. Every moment has led up to the main event. Millions of Jewish people will be saved all over the world. God's heart is for all to believe, for none to perish. It's called the greater glory. Do you believe?
It's supernatural.
Welcome, Holy Spirit, our most important guest. Go and flow. My guest, Jerob Knott, recently had a medically verified healing by practicing what he was taught by the Holy Spirit. Briefly, explain biblical meditation.
Yes. Right now in our society, in our culture, Sid, we see people that are burdened with depression, anxiety, struggles of life, the burdens of life and the storms of life, and it's pulling us down. And right now, our culture and our society is at an all-time high for anxiety and stress-induced diseases.
I haven't looked this up yet, but I would assume that suicides are up.
Suicides are up. Suicides are up because the spirit of fear is so tangibly gripping our society and our culture right now, that fear is on the increase, and as a result, depression leading to suicide. And so biblical meditation, as a gentle description from heaven, brings us into the glory of God. When we are called to rest in His presence and to be in the presence of Jesus, kind of like we are in this room right now, we're in the presence of God and we're feeling that tangible glory. This is the type of moment where we are called to enter in with God, where He takes away the burdens of the depression, the burdens away from the fear, and He lifts those off of us so that we can live a life of glory, free from the distractions of our infirmities, of the storms of life. And from that place of glory, we find our freedom, we find our purpose, and we find our destiny that's written in heaven.
That is so strong. I hope you caught what he said. Biblical meditation ushers us into the presence of God. Who wouldn't want to be in the presence of God? Because if God is for you, who could be against you? Jerob, why do so many believers not understand biblical meditation?
We have a problem in our Christian culture right now, where we have relegated meditation as a concept and as a word to the secular New Age community of the world. The Eastern religions of the world have perfected meditation and their practices of meditation. And so one of the problems that we have right now in the Christian world is, among the body of believers, the word meditation carries a connotation that's associated with Eastern meditation and religion. And we've done a disservice. We've abdicated a command from God. In Joshua 1:8, God Himself commanded that.
What you're saying, because the enemy has a cheap counterfeit, yeah, we have thrown out the real thing.
Absolutely, we have. We have thrown it out, and we've allowed a biblical principle to be adopted for full use by the kingdom of darkness. It's ours to take back. We don't need to redeem meditation. A lot of practices are trying to be redeemed by Christianity right now, and I will not mix the holy and the profane. This was holy time of glory presence that God gave to us as believers in Jesus that we've set aside. We've tabled this experience, and it's time to take it back.
Now, is meditation specifically referred to in the Bible?
It is. In many, many circumstances in Bible, we have more than 250 scriptures that I've cataloged myself that are related to meditation and pulling back in the glory of God, starting with the story of creation. God meditated when he finished his creation story on the seventh day. It said God rested. Well, the word for rest is that he came into a place of contemplation. Well, why did he do that? He did it for our benefit. He didn't need to do that, but he was teaching us the value of resting in his glory. And then in Joshua 1:8, God said to meditate endlessly on the law. And so that was a command. Now, we're no longer under the law, but the principle of that model is still in effect. And then in Psalm 46:10, we see the beautiful scripture where God says, "Be still and know that I am God." And once we come into that place of stillness, I can feel it now.
I was just going to say, I can feel the presence of God coming out of you, especially when you stated the words of God that you meditate on.
Yes.
That's when it came out. You've just had recently an experience of being caught up to heaven. He explained about being in two places at the same time.
Yes. So Ephesians, I believe it's Ephesians 6:2. It says, "We are co-seated with Jesus." And he began to impart to me that that is not just a figure of speech, that there is actual science that can back up what Scripture says. I don't worship at the altar of science, but when I find science that proves what the Scripture says, oh, my faith just rises. And so I use that as an opportunity now to teach people. And the Bible says that we are co-seated with Jesus. And I'm in this moment with Jesus, and it struck me that the science of superposition, the science of particle duality, and the science of quantum physics are all in agreement that two things can exist in multiple locations at once. That's part of our natural environment. Our world says that.
And so what you're saying is you are here with me.
Yes.
But you're also seated in heavenly places?
At this moment, yes. And when we acknowledge that with our mind and we come into agreement that I am in this place, there brings a stillness to the room. And a stillness will begin to settle because now all of a sudden I'm tuning my mind to heaven. And it's from that place where I'm intentional and I'm seeking the face of Jesus in the quiet of my room, he shows up.
And you get healed when you're meditating on the Bible. Recently,
yes,
you had a major healing while you were practicing biblical meditation. Tell me it briefly.
Wow. Major healing. In January of 2023, not long ago, I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. I found myself sitting in the doctor's office for a routine visit. And during this visit, I learned something that just absolutely took me by surprise. And he began to profess over me that I was one of millions of Americans now who suffer from diabetes. And he began to proclaim a destiny, a life path over me. But I just remember the urgency of the fire of God in my belly well up. And I looked at my doctor and I said, "No, I don't accept that. I will not accept this destiny." And then from that place, I walked out of that office resolute that my time in the presence of God, in the glory of God, will be where I find my healing. And so I spent the next several moments and days in the still, quiet place of heaven. And you know, Sid, what I saw, what I watched, is I watched without taking any medication, without taking any supplements, and without doing anything different. I watched as I meditated, my blood glucose levels declined back to a place where they were absolutely normal. It's miraculous it doesn't happen. And so what I realized is that from a scientific perspective, meditation reduces blood sugar. Okay, now I know that's a science piece, but when we're talking about Scripture, God promises that when we join Him, He will join us. Jesus says, abide in me and I abide in you. He's not going to abide in a broken vessel. He needs that vessel to be healed and to be whole. We are a temple for His presence and His glory. I leaned into Jesus and He immediately healed me.
Wow. When we return, I want Jareb to demonstrate how he meditates and pray to fine-tune your hearing. Be right back.
We will be right back to It's Supernatural.
Finding it harder to hear God in this noisy, distracting world? Are depression, anxiety, or worry crowding God out of your life? Jareb Knott joins Bible Truths with the science of biblical meditation so you can be filled with God's peace and supernatural presence.
Jareb Knott has such an intriguing title of his brand new book, The Science of Supernatural Thinking, and the brand new and exclusive 3-CD set, Connecting with God's Thoughts. Tell us why you wrote the book, why you have these 3 CDs.
This was a charge from God Himself. Our culture right now is filled with depression and anxiety. He told me to prepare the message of Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. So that's why I've written this, because people need to learn this message, need to learn how to connect with the glory.
How will reading your brand new book and listening to your 3 CDs help us really connect?
It's a call to stillness. And when we become still and silent before the presence of the Holy Spirit, His glory envelops us and surrounds us, and we can't help but become enriched with His glory and with His presence.
Many people have sat under your teaching. What kind of feedback are you getting?
I'm getting incredible feedback. I'm hearing that people are suddenly able to hear God's voice again after having been silent for so long. One individual in particular was weeping because he was unable to hear the voice of God. And through my message, he was able to hear God's voice.
And without hearing God's voice, how in the world could you ever have intimacy with Him? I want you to know, Jareb has done such a great service for so many people right now. God's glory will renew your thought life.
Call or go online at sidroth.org/9988 with your donation of $36, shipping and handling included, to get Jareb Knott's book, The Science of Supernatural Thinking, How Biblical Meditation Fills Your Life with the Peace, Power, and Purpose of Heaven. Plus, you'll receive Jareb's brand new and exclusive 3-CD audio set, Connecting with God's Thoughts. Specify offer number 9988.
We now return to It's Supernatural.
Jareb, what would you say to someone who says that they just don't have the time to connect with God? Sounds like a little time consuming.
Well, isn't that everyone's problem right now? That we have so much to do and we're losing our time. And Sid, one of the problems that we have in our culture right now is that we are consumed with things to do, consumed with the busyness of life. And everything that we say yes to becomes another thing on our plate. And I challenge now everybody listening and watching that, are the things that have consumed your plate, are they part of your destiny from heaven? Are they part of your plan from God? He wrote your destiny in Psalm 139, 13 through 16, where it says your days were written in His book every day. And if it's not written in that book, I challenge whether it's for you and for your time consumption. And so there's a challenge I put before people. But then very practically, I use a teaching method where I encourage people, take a look at their phone. And how many hours and how much time do we spend in front of our phone right now? And there's a term called zombie scrolling, or perhaps I can use a different term, multitasking on the phone to such a degree that it consumes us. And that's a draw, but we're consumed. Hours is spent on the phone scrolling and not really learning about our life or the God destiny that He has within us. And so my challenge to people, take 3 minutes, put down your phone, welcome the presence of the glory of God. Come into that Psalm 46:10 moment. Welcome His presence for 3 minutes is my challenge to people. And for 3 minutes that day, and then 5 minutes the next day. And then you'll see the pattern grow, and it has to grow. Because once you experience that tangible glory of God in that first 3 minutes, you don't want to stop. You want to do it again because it's the...
And what if it doesn't happen in 3 minutes? What's your advice?
If it doesn't happen, you got to keep trying because God's presence is simply waiting for you to enter in and say yes to His glory and to His presence. But Sid, sometimes to your point, we are blocked. There's a block that people have in their mind and they can't hear the voice of God. And so very simply, one of the methods that I encourage people to use is to pray. There's a difference between prayer and meditation. And I open with a prayer, Holy Spirit, take my mind, take my thoughts captive right now in Jesus' name. Begin to speak to me. I surrender my thoughts. I surrender the busyness of my day and the busyness of my life. And I choose now to enter into a place of stillness, allowing you to speak to me.
It's not necessarily a feeling, it's a choice.
It's a choice. It's a choice to connect. And once we make that decision, He honors that decision by joining us every single time. It's never a missed moment. He will always join us. We have to acknowledge it and then accept that He's there. But once we acknowledge that He's there, then we can feel His tangible presence.
You teach biblical meditation to your children.
Yes, I do. I have the glorious honor of bringing my children into the throne room of heaven. And through this process, I teach them to breathe the breath of God, the Neshama breath of God, into their nostrils and become at peace and to welcome the presence of the Holy Spirit. And when they do, they enter into the glorious presence of God and rest. This is our charge as parents to bring our children into the glory and into the presence. And what better way for them to answer life's problems than to have them enter the glory for their problems?
Now, you have provoked me to jealousy because I'll tell you what, I'm going to have to read your book because you have such a high degree of presence just radiating out of you. I think you have to read his book too. You know, I've heard of hotel rooms with bugs.
Yes.
But you went into a hotel room that had something far worse than bugs. Yeah. Tell me about that.
Oh, I was on the road and I was teaching a deliverance school. And I was up the very next morning to teach. It was my turn to teach. And I had been preparing all night, well, all day. And I remember heading to bed in a very peaceful, calming moment and well prepared for my teaching the next day. And I woke up. It was 2 a.m. And I woke up to the most awful smoke burning sensation in the room that I've ever smelled. It was dense, thick, and it was smelled like a dumpster was on fire. Mm. And so I got up immediately and I began to run around the room just to make sure there wasn't anything actually burning.
Right.
And then I went out to the hallway. And when I got to the hallway, there was absolutely nothing there. It was clear. And I went back into the room. Of course, it was still there. And I had an opportunity to, right in that moment, realize this is spiritual. There is a spiritual attack, and to realize that I'm teaching how to set people free from demonic oppression. And so I was used to this type of thing. So I sat on my bed and I began to pray. And I said, Holy Spirit, what would you have me do in this moment? And I heard the words that I love about Smith Wigglesworth. One of the stories that I love about him, when he encountered a demonic entity in his home, his response was, oh, it's just you. And then he went back to bed. And I remembered that moment, and the Holy Spirit was prompting me to not give in to the temptations of the enemy and not to engage. And so I did the very same thing. I said to whatever demon is in this room, you unclean spirit that's in this room, I said, I don't have time for you, and I'm going to bed. And I turned around and I got under the covers and I went to bed. And in that moment, it left. It disappeared from the room.
You didn't command it to go?
I didn't have to.
You ignored it.
I ignored it.
I'm wondering if that isn't the best deliverance going. Just ignore them.
Let me tell you, Exodus 14:14. Moses told the Israelites, he said, all you have to do is be still and the Lord will fight for you. That was the message.
Now, briefly, you told me that you incorporate meditation with your deliverance sessions when you pray for people to have deliverance quickly.
We do. Yeah, so every deliverance, we have an opportunity to bring our clients to the throne room of heaven. And historically, deliverance is all about a fight with the enemy. And I'm not about fighting with the enemy. I am all about welcoming the presence of the Holy Spirit to arrest the enemy and to cause the enemy grief so that it leaves. I don't need to yell and scream at the demons because the Holy Spirit arrests them in the presence of the Lord. And when that arresting happens, they go.
What do you personally attribute to the flow, tangibly, of God's Spirit coming out of you right this second? I feel it.
Oh.
And if I was more of a visionary, I would see it.
Sid, I spend time in the presence of God. I have devoted hours of my life to sitting in the presence of God so that I can become everything that He says I can become in my destiny, but more importantly than that, so that people can witness the power and the glory of God through me, as I can witness to them and bring them into the glory of God. That's what you're feeling right now. I don't have anything to brag about. It's God in me. It's Jesus in me that I received through that abiding time in Him.
Jesus in you, the hope of glory. How about this? Let's start at basics. I want to make sure that you have your own experiential knowledge with God. It's good that Jerob has it. It's good that I have it. But I want to make sure that you have your own experiential knowledge with God. I want you to repeat out loud this prayer with me and mean it to the best of your ability. Repeat after me. Dear God, I've made many mistakes in my life, and I'm so sorry. I believe the blood of Jesus washes me clean. And now that I'm clean, Jesus, come and live inside of me. I make you not just my Savior, but my Savior and Lord. Amen. You hear from God so well. Tell us what God's speaking to our viewers right now. Look in the camera.
Right now, God would have you know that He's waiting. He says, I'm waiting for you. He said, Psalm 46:10 is a moment to come into His presence, to slow down in the busyness of life. He said, come to me, I'm waiting for you, because in that place of abiding, there is healing. He says, there is hope. He says, there is joy. For many of us, there are so many insurmountable problems in life. He said, there is absolute freedom when you join me in the abiding place of biblical, true biblical meditation. And I just pray over you, I declare over you right now, that everyone watching and listening would receive an impartation of the glory of God in your space and in your room right now in this very moment, as you take a moment to be silent before Him, as the problems and storms of life disappear and they wash away, just like Jesus when He was on the boat with His disciples and He woke up and He commanded peace to the storm. There was an abiding moment that even Jesus was partaking in on that boat where He was sleeping during the storm. He was inviting us to meditate in the midst of our storms. So I speak to you now. It's time to come into a place of abiding, a place of meditation for the glory of God to saturate your body, to saturate your mind, to saturate your spirit, and to fully envelop every fiber of your being all the way down to the DNA level, where the enemy has gotten its grip and has wrapped its fingers around thoughts in your mind. See, the enemy's tactic is to wrap himself around your thoughts and around your mind. And so right now, the glory of God, I sense it coming into your body and into your mind and into your DNA, unwrapping the unhealthy thoughts from the enemy and refilling those places with His glory, with His truth, with His love, and with His grace, and you will be healed.
We have to let them go biblically meditate.
Yes.
Now. They're running.
Amen. 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 Amen.